Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Whoever believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. This wasn't lip service. Jesus was talking to you. Every Soul Sister Friday at 10 a.m., learn how to claim your God-given dominion to follow the Master's example and restore health, demonstrate supply, harmonize relationships, and have victory over sin with Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson, spiritual solutions to life's challenges.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to 4 International Soul Sister Radio. I am your producer, Maria DiGiovanni, welcoming you to the Soul Sister Experience. First, a special thank you to our station sponsor, ImageMakeoverProgram.com, who make it possible to record live and broadcast worldwide. We invite you to get ready to enjoy the show. Take it away, my soul sister.
Welcome to Coffee Talk with Patricia. Good morning, everyone. I am your host, Patricia Winskunas, and I thank you for listening and joining us this bright and beautiful morning this morning. I'm going to start with a morning prayer. There are so many things I take for granted. May I not ignore them today. Just for today, help me, God, to remember that my life is a gift, that my health is a blessing, that this new day is filled with awesome potential, that I have the capacity to bring something wholly new and unique and good into this world. Just for today, help me, God, to remember to be kind and patient to the people who love me and to those who work with me too. Teach me to see all the beauty that I so often ignore and to listen to the silent longing of my own soul. Just for today, help me, God, to remember you. Let this be a good day. God, fill me with joy and love. Amen. So that was my morning prayer, and I'm going to say many prayers throughout today's show. So I hope whatever faith you are, that that's okay and that you join me in prayer. Because for me personally, I think prayer and faith are what life and living is all about. I think we must trust in our faith. We must trust in the Lord, and again, whatever your faith is, please, trust in that. But I know for myself personally, it is what gets me through my day each and every day, and also what I believe I am focused on moving forward in my life is putting my faith as my priority, and putting myself also as my priority. So this morning I wanted to talk about traveling. I wanted to talk about career, self, love, faith, a little bit of everything of what I like to talk about every week. And I wanted to share with you my recent travels. I took a couple of days. I know it's shocking. I actually did take a couple of days. And it really has taught me so much. And it has taught me to explore, to continue to dream, and to discover. And when I say discover, I don't mean just discovering life and living and traveling and exploring, but to really, truly discover yourself. Because I think through your travels, you can learn more about yourself. You can make changes in your own personal life, your careers, your community, your giving. And this past month for me, there has been many challenges, many obstacles, many true blessings for my life, for my career, and for my community giving.
And it has given me such an opportunity to benefit because, again, I have trusted in the Lord, I have trusted in my faith, and through these challenges and obstacles, it brings you through these difficult times in life. But it's also very interesting because when you think about being, like recently, I've posted most things on Facebook. I try to be very positive and very spiritual, and I love quotes and poems, and so I post that a lot in inspiration. And, you know, sometimes I also share the negativities and the concerns and the challenges that people have in their lives because I'm contacted daily by survivors of crime. I'm contacted by friends and families that face their own challenges. We all face challenges. However, most people, they're okay with hearing the positives. They think that that's okay. But when you post negatives or life happenings or challenges and obstacles, people get uncomfortable. And that was also a lesson that I realized recently is that it's okay to share uncomfortable happenings. It's okay to share what you're enduring in your life, whether it be, you know, financial problems, whether it be love and commitment in your relationships or a friendship. And you don't have to share other people's circumstances, or you can share it and just leave their name off, whatever. But it is interesting to me to see that people are okay with the positives, but not the negative happenings in life or the challenges, as I said. But we also must remember in every negative, every challenge, every obstacle, every difficult circumstance in our lives, there's always a positive to be found, whether it could be your health. Maybe you're having health challenges out there. There's still something that you can find a blessing in that challenge. So I ask you today to take time and reflect. Take time to sit with yourself and really discover who are you in your health, in your well-being, in your living, in your career? Is it something that you are comfortable with? Is there some challenge and obstacle that you're having? Maybe pick up the phone and call a friend. You know, sometimes we don't do that either. Sometimes we're afraid to share personal circumstances, even with our friends. But judging others is not something that we should do in our futures. We can judge, but we can't be critical in our judgment. We can share with our friends and our family our challenges and our obstacles, and we can help to ensure in our lives and in our friends and family's lives, how do we find the positive in the negative? Because if you're living underneath a rainbow, that's not realistic. It's not reality of living and life and happiness or success. We live under a rainbow at many different times in life, and we can all strive to find the pot of gold, in a sense, and that pot of gold could be many things. It could be financial, it could be health, it could be well-being, it could be a career, it could be traveling, love, could be many, many things. But remember to explore and to know that we do have challenges and obstacles, and it's okay in that moment. It's okay to discover and to dream. So I share that with you today because I really want you to be able to take time in your life, because I personally am now on a journey. I'm on a journey of changing, and change can be very challenging, and it can be very, very difficult depending on what the change is. But I've learned that now with this journey in my personal life, I ask you to find a new journey in your life. I'm going to explore. I'm going to explore traveling. I'm going to explore my career, my community giving. I'm going to explore myself. I'm going to explore love in my life for myself, for my friends, for my family, for a relationship. And I'm going to explore my faith at a greater heightened level. And I'm also going to dream of all of those things. Because while you're exploring, you can also have the hope to dream And while you're dreaming, you can also discover. You would be surprised even in one day, even in a couple of hours, what you can discover about yourself and truly about others that you may have not even known about them. Allow people into your heart and into your soul and into your future. Because sometimes we also, I think I spoke about this on another show, sometimes we get so comfortable with what's happening in our lives that we're afraid of change. And we're also allowing people in our lives that may be negative and may not be the best for us. It doesn't mean they weren't good for us at that time or that moment, but maybe things change in life. Maybe you have changed. I know I've changed, and I also know that I don't want to be negative anymore. It's so easy to take that road of negativity. It's so easy to allow others to make choices and decisions for who you are and what you represent. But that's really not life and living. It's really not fair. So take a look at who's in your life. Take a look, are they negative? Are they bringing you down? And try to change that. I know I've gotten comfortable with negativity. I've gotten comfortable with a lot of people in my life telling me how to do things, what to do, not to say certain things, be careful. And, you know, that's not life and living. And those are negatives. And so now I want to move forward in being able to be comfortable in a respectful manner, saying what I believe, trusting in my faith and being okay with sharing it with the world, and being okay with who I am as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother, as a friend, and as a self. And every time I'm going to try to catch myself when I become negative, because I know that I'm the first person out there that can be negative myself. I get into that habit as well. So I'm going to try to work on catching myself, maybe pinching myself, although I don't want to hurt myself, but maybe just doing something to say, okay, I'm being a little bit negative here. How can I turn it around? How can I realize in every negative there is a positive? So join me in focusing on that and make time to discover yourself. Join me in a journey and a destination. And that destination you may find sooner than later. You never know what your destination is. But I truly believe that for me personally, my journey and my destination has changed from even 30 days ago. So it's continuously changing. But I am so welcoming my future, and I am so in the moment of my present today because I can feel the confidence of not only myself, but my community, my friends, my family, and I can know and honor that I am imperfect, that I promise myself that I will make sure to acknowledge my negativities, my imperfections, my perfections also. Because I think we also all have perfections as well. But I do know that I'm going to do that. And I do know that also I'm going to allow myself the weekend to just go ahead and just be myself. But I've also promised myself on Monday that I am going to put a strong effort into healthy living. And healthy living can be many, many things to many different people. But for me, healthy living is to be able to honor and to respect myself, to bring more laughter into my life, to bring more joy, forgiveness, and fun. Because I truly want to make sure that what I always looked forward to is I feel like turning 50 is going to be fabulous. But recently talking to a friend, and you can deal with health concerns and health issues, and as our grandparents told us when we're younger, how when we turn 50 and older, our bones ache, and, you know, different things that you have to go through in life. And so when I turn 50, I want to be fabulous, and I want to be fabulous now, but I also want to put an effort into healthy living, and that's eating, paying attention and honoring what I eat and put into my body and into my heart and into my soul. And again, just making an effort for career and community and self, love in life and faith, and really making that a part of my to-do top of the list. So you should also consider that. What are you eating? What are you putting into your body? Is it healthy? Is it going to make you live another 50 years? Talk to your doctor. Make sure that you're getting your tests done regularly. Are you healthy? Because I think that is such a priority that we also don't discuss. We don't really talk about our health as much with our friends. Have you went and got your monthly checks? Have you done your checks yourself? Sometimes we think that that's all embarrassing. I kind of laugh because I think that that's sometimes the same thing about talking about intimacy and your relationships is sometimes we think, I don't know if none of us are, ever go to the doctor or we talk about it or intimate relationships, but I think it's also something to say to your friends and your family members, have you gotten your check? Have you went to the doctor? And I know that our healthcare system is changing drastically, and hopefully everyone has the challenge and the opportunities, but they also can take that time because I know the challenge is many people don't even have health insurance, so they can't go to a doctor. But the opportunity is helping maybe someone go to a clinic or somewhere local that may not cost as much because, again, that priority is your health and your well-being. So I highly recommend that. And now I'm going to take a time to read a prayer as well, a prayer for aging with dignity. I don't want to grow old, God. I don't want any part of it. But since I have no power to stop the clock, my prayer is this. Let me age with grace. Show me the way, God. Be with me. Grant health to my body and clarity to my mind. Give me strength. Help me to overcome my vanity. Teach me to combat self-pity. Don't allow me to become set in my ways. Shield me from isolation and from loneliness. May the love of my family and friends be my reward for all the struggles of my youth. Let all the blessings of age from me. Let me wisdom flow from my mouth. Let compassion flow from my heart. Let acts of kindness flow from my arms. Let faith flow from my soul. Let joy shine forth from my eyes. Amen. I think that's a very good aging prayer that says a prayer for aging with dignity. So I think that that was very good. So the other thing I wanted to really talk about, I mentioned earlier, was traveling. I took a couple days, thankfully, to two of my friends that I feel very blessed to have in my life, and they wanted to take me for a couple of days, and I went to Vegas. And I haven't been there in a long, long time, and it was very nice to just get away. But do we really ultimately get away? Because as much as I tried to put down the cell phone and to separate from Facebook and Twitters and blogs and websites and emails, you know, I feel I've got another addiction. And I think all of us have this compulsive behavior of sorts with social media, with our internet, with our emails, with text messages. And interesting enough, I had said I'm going away for a couple of days, and one lady kept emailing me, and so I kept emailing her back saying, I'm away for a couple of days, I'll get back to you when I return. And then she must have called me three times and left me three messages, and I thought, well, I did say that I was getting away, so I'm wondering if the best thing to do is to not take that stuff with you. And if it was an emergency, I'm sure someone would reach out to you and get in contact with you. But I know even one of my friends that I went with kept saying, you know, put the phone down. Are you ever going to put the phone down? And I felt bad for, you know, a minute. It didn't stop me, but I did feel bad because I thought, here I'm supposed to be getting away and detaching. But I have to say I was also detached to an extreme for a couple of days that I'm not even used to. And it did feel like I was gone for almost a week when I came back and looked at all my emails and all my messages and everything else. And it'll take me a couple of days to catch up. But I have to say, the journey of being able to just get in a car and get away for some time and to be able to stay in a hotel room, and what relaxation that was, and learning the different, it's interesting because I learned so much in just a couple of days about myself, about where I want to be in my future. And I know it seems like only a couple of days, but it was such a journey to discover even myself, of feeling like I'm an old soul. And I felt like, you know, wanting to get up to the room to go to bed at 10 o'clock, or wanting to be able to just take a nap, or certain things that I'm not used to doing. And even in the room, just from my experience, I think I shared on last week's show about me working for a short period of time as a maid in a hotel, and when I was younger, and having that respect of cleaning up the room. I caught myself even cleaning up the room and organizing everything. And when I used the hair dryer, I took it out of the drawer in the cabinet, and then I wrapped it up because there's a certain way that maids are supposed to wrap the hair dryer. So I was catching myself wrapping that up and then putting it back in the drawer and folding the bed the certain way. And I stopped myself and I'm like, well, you know, I know that's their job to do, but it's just interesting, the small little things, or taking the shower in the hotel room and enjoying. And I kept thinking to myself, oh my gosh, how am I going to get this power and this soft water in my shower when I get back home? Because, you know, you go to those hotel rooms and they have such force coming out of the shower, and when it hits your back, it just feels so good, and the softness of the water. So it's those small little things in life that I think we forget. And when we travel and we get away, I think we have a journey of maybe discovering ourselves in such a small way, but it's also in a huge way. And it really did make an impact. And to realize also, who are your true friends? And do we really take time for our friends? Do we acknowledge them? Do we really know them? And do we show our appreciation, and do we thank them? Because I think gratitude goes a very long way. And these dear friends, you know, they took me on this couple-day trip and treated me to such a great time. And it wasn't about the gambling, because I don't gamble. I work so hard right now for my money that I have to pay my expenses. And for me personally, I would rather give my money back to the community than give it to a casino. So I don't gamble, but to go to the show, it was a fantastic show, Rock of Ages. I went to see that, and I, you know, got to just let loose in there. And I loved the fact that when they started the show, they said no cell phones, no cameras. So that was good. I got to detach that whole entire time. And it was nice to just listen to the music that also really brought back so many memories for me. So again, through your travels and through your journey, and if you see a show and have that opportunity, it brings memories back. And it could bring some sad ones, and it can bring some emotions, but it can also bring some very happy ones. And I, when they played Whitesnake and You Walk Alone, it just brought, that's one of my favorite songs and one of the things that I like to listen to. And sometimes when I'm sad and I feel alone, it's what I listen to. But then the reality of knowing is that in life I'm not walking alone, because I was in the presence of friends and my family and my community and my career. And it's such a great thing to realize and to be able to eat. I did notice a great thing about my eating, and again, I'm going to work on this on Monday, because I kept thinking, well, you know, I can eat one meal and then I can eat whatever I want. And that's so wrong, because it's such a good thing to get in the habit of eating small portions. When we go to restaurants, they give such large portions. And sometimes it's good to share a meal with your friends or your family. And then that way you can eat throughout the day, which is so much more healthier. So one of the things that I'm going to work on my journey moving forward is getting up every morning and having a light breakfast. And it could be half the portion of whatever it may be, or some fruit, or some toast, or oatmeal, yogurt, even if you grab a yogurt in the morning. is being able to have a breakfast and a snack throughout the day and a lunch. And your snack doesn't have to be a large chocolate cake. And then we all know I love my chocolate cake, but in moderation, I think, is key. So I learned in these last couple of days a lot about my eating habits and how I'm going to work on changing and fixing that. I also learned that not everybody drinks heavily. You don't have to drink a lot to have fun. Some people have alcohol, some people don't, but you don't have to have it if you don't want to. I see that a lot more people may have a glass of wine with dinner, and some people don't have any alcohol, and that's okay also. So if you're out there and you're traveling, enjoy yourself. You know, if you want a cocktail, have it. But don't feel pressured, which I've learned in the last 30 days also. You know, sometimes you can feel pressure to do things that you just want to be able to fit in, so you do them. And I say, don't change who you are because of what other people want or think you should be or should have. Because you were born to be real, not perfect. You're here to be you, not to be what someone else wants you to be. And I don't know if you out there listening, if some of you become what other people expectations are, but I really say be true and be real to yourself. Again, we're all imperfect, but we also have our perfections as well.
Patricia,
none of us are the same. Yes, go ahead.
Actually, if I can interject, as you both, as you know, we've both been walking through some heavy-duty things, and you're right. I'm listening to your show so diligently as I'm watching all the comments going on Facebook and everything. And one of the things that I've had to get rid of in my life is detaching from people who don't allow us to grow. And you just said something that triggered the thought, because one of the last text messages I got, this dear friend of mine said, I miss the Maria I used to know. And it made me sad because that Maria was a great Maria. But you're right. As we grow and we change, sometimes those people don't allow us to change. And it was a very sad moment. And that's when you realize that you've outgrown. So I just want to say your show is amazing, but I wanted to interject with that because what do you do when you have to let go of those people that don't allow you to change, who miss the Patricia you used to be? But that Patricia, wow, you loved her. But look at the Patricia now. Wow, being true and real to who you are. How do you let go of those things?
Thank you for sharing that, Maria, because that is so powerful, and that is so true, and you're right on. And do you, you know, when someone says that they missed you, who you used to be, but so does that mean that you should change back to that person you used to be to satisfy that other person? Or in your growth, I mean, I think it could go two ways. I think, one, you should never change for someone else. But I do think that if it's someone that you trust and that is a dear friend, I think we owe it to ourselves when someone points it out to us. I think we owe it to ourselves to acknowledge and recognize it and to say, is it a change? Have I changed for the worse or have I changed for the better? And if there's certain things that you're doing that you've changed that, you know, of course, are harmful to someone else or harmful to yourself, then I would say, okay, maybe you need to change something in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But who our friends used to be, I mean, I've had wonderful friends throughout the years, but they've changed, I've changed, and we've separated ways. And I have some friends that are amazing treasures that will be in my heart forever. But we don't see each other often. But when we pick up the phone and we talk or we see each other, it's as if we just saw each other yesterday. But sometimes our lives change. It's kind of in a situation like I would always say, someone you're friends with and you're like best friends and you spend all your time together and that friend goes and gets married. And now they have children and maybe you don't, and then you're separating because you're going in two separate ways. It doesn't mean that you weren't great friends. It doesn't mean that you're still not friends. It just means life happens. Life changes. And you can't change for other people. You have to change for yourself. And I do think that you have to trust yourself. I'm no expert, but I do know that I'm on this journey. I know you're on this journey. And I know many other people that I've been speaking to are on a journey for change, but that change is for their self, for their career, for their life, for their living, for their faith. And I think we need to honor and recognize that, and we need to be okay to say to someone when they say, well, you're not the same person anymore. And you can stand strong and say, you know, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not the same person that I used to be, but I'm on a journey to live life to the fullest that God has given me and blessed me with. And I may not be perfect, but I'm on this journey to make sure that my life is what it is for me. Does that kind of make sense? Or?
Oh, amen. Again, it's an amazing show, and keep talking because I love hearing you speak. But let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back.
Perfect.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
And you're back.
And I'm back. Welcome back, everyone. So I'm going to go ahead and say another prayer, a prayer for the strength to realize our dreams. You have blessed me with many gifts, God, but I know it is my task to realize them. May I never underestimate my potential. May I never lose hope. May I find the strength to strive for better, the courage to be different, the energy to give all that I have to offer. And that goes and speaks a little bit more about realizing your dreams. What your dreams may not be my dreams. They're not my dreams. And my dreams may not fit into your dreams. And that is okay. It's okay to be different. It's kind of also like when you go to dinner with your dear friend, and your dear friend says, hey, can I bring one of my friends? And you say, sure. And they bring that friend, and you're sitting there the whole time wondering, how can she be friends with that person? Because maybe you wouldn't be friends with that person. And even though you are friends with that friend, doesn't mean that you have to be friends with their friends, if that kind of makes sense. It kind of didn't to me, but anyway, it kind of goes full circle to say you can have a friend, but you don't have to be friends with that friend's friends. And,
amen.
You know, yes, see, and that's, I think a lot of us think that we need to, right? But we don't.
No, we don't. I'm muted myself because I just want to hear you, but you know what? What you just said is really true, because how many times, I mean, we've known each other for how many years now, Patricia, okay? And how many times have we had that scenario? So isn't that interesting? Why do you think that is? Because, you know, sometimes we're really good friends with these other people, but yes, I know exactly what that is. Why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know, because I think we all have different personalities, but we all have different things. And so some things, I mean, you're a dear friend and I treasure you, and there's certain things that we can share as friends, and we, you know, but there's certain things that I may not like that you go out and do. You know, maybe certain people, they drink, and maybe I don't drink. Maybe certain people go to a club, and I don't. Maybe, you know, I'm really big into my faith, and I do know some of my friends that are not. So just because, I mean, we don't have to love and appreciate and have everything in common. We can have some things in common and be friends, and then other things, no. But I think that also goes to the point that some friends also won't speak up. Like if they agree or they disagree with you, they keep things to themselves and they don't say it.
There you go. And I think that is a really big key. I'll be quiet again.
No, you can chime in anytime, Maria, really.
Okay.
But so I think that the traveling is a thing on my journey, and now I have realized, and I think, unfortunately, and I'm admitting, I think I've kind of set up myself, and I've also set up the organizations that I started, and I've kind of set up my friends and my family also, because through this journey, I've realized that for the last 11 years, 10 and a half years, I have really lived my life to set myself on the back burner. I don't think I have really existed, I'm going to be honest. I think I lost Patricia, and I think that I lived for community, and I think part of it was because it didn't hurt to help other people. So I think a powerful moment, oh, I just heard a big buzz. That was my dryer. Did you guys hear that? See that? Now I can fold my towels.
That's so funny.
That's great. So I think through this journey, I have figured out that I need to discover myself more. And even though I have set up, I feel like, and I know I didn't set up anybody to fail, and maybe I didn't even set up myself to fail, but I do know that a powerful moment that I have figured out this past 30 days is that it was easier to help other survivors heal. It was easier to deal with their trauma than it was to even deal with my own trauma. And a survivor of attempted murder, I feel like I have coped and dealt and worked through all of that. And I feel I have survived it, and I am surviving it. And I am thriving it, to be honest. But through a lot of the other trauma in my past, I don't think that, well, I know, I have not really honestly dealt or survived a lot of it. And some of the other triggers that have triggered me this past, say, 30 days, couple months, it's brought a lot of stuff to the forefront. And so it made me open my eyes to realize I have put everything and everyone else as the priority, and that can't be anymore. And I have to be okay with that without guilt, without shame, without blame. And I have to take a step back and say, I have to make faith my number one priority. I have to make myself my priority. I have to make my family, and I have to make my friends and my community and my career. And I have to be okay with this change, because there's going to be a lot of change that's going to take place in my personal self and life and my career and my community giving. And it's going to be challenging, but it has to be okay, because I have to be okay with acknowledging and recognizing my past so that triggers won't be so traumatic moving forward. I have to be okay with discovering and finding myself. That has to be a priority. So things may change, and I have to be okay with it. And I think I am okay. At least right now, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with saying I can't work 7 days a week anymore, 24 hours a day. I can't do that. And I really have done that, because I think it's been easier. And unfortunately, I've always said I've never taken the easy road. I've always taken the hard road. And maybe for a while, I've taken the easy road, because that was what was easier. And now I have to go back to taking the hard road and making these changes and realizing that no more 7 days a week to work. I don't have to live like a princess. I frankly am not a materialistic person, and that's okay. I don't have to make as much money. As long as I can cover my expenses and as long as I can give back to my community, that's my priority. Giving back to my church, giving back to the Lord, that's got to be a priority for me as well moving forward. And to be able to really say it's okay to travel without guilt, without technology, without responding to everyone so instantly, they'll have to wait. And if they're not okay with that, if friends and family are not okay with that, then that has to be their challenge. That has to be their change, because my change may not match now with theirs. And that has to be okay, because we're on different journeys. We're on different paths. I'm on a different journey than what you are, and that's okay. But I want to now make time. I want to continue to be an old soul, but I also realized this past couple of days on this trip to Vegas that I'm almost like a 65-year-old woman stuck in a 40-some-year-old woman's body, and that's not okay either. So I need to be able to loosen up, have fun, and be okay with who I am and what I do, and not be so worried about what everybody else is thinking of me, whether they're thinking I'm eating too much, whether they're thinking about what size I am, whether they're thinking about my financial, whether they're thinking about the question I get all the time is, why are you single? Why are you not dating? Why are you not married? That question, and I know, Maria, we have talked about this on a regular basis, but the question, I think to a point to people, our friends, they love us. They want us to be happy, and I think people think in general that you need to be in love and in a relationship to be happy. And for the first time in my life, I'm open for a relationship as long as that person treats me with respect and dignity. But I also want people to know that you don't have to be happy, because I'm working on my journey of being able to learn and discover and explore and dream of myself, and I am on the journey of loving myself. And I believe once I love myself and I'm happy and I respect myself and I can treat myself with dignity, I think it opens the doors in God's time, only God's time, I believe, then that love, if it's meant to be, will come into our lives. And I'm open the first time in my life to say that I do deserve to be treated with respect and dignity, and I do want that. I want that commitment and that love, but I also am an old soul in the sense of knowing what a true relationship is, and I don't want something that just comes and goes. I believe in commitments. I believe in marriage, I believe in love, and I respect it wholeheartedly. So I truly am open to it, but I also laugh because, and I know I have to stop saying this because a lot of my friends will continue to ask, why are you single? Why are you not dating? And I just keep saying, please, just call me Sister Mary Patricia. That's my new name. And, you know, it gets a laugh and it gets a giggle and stuff like that. And you know, you what you put out there sometimes is also what happens in your life. So I'm stepping away from being Sister Mary Patricia, and I'm not going to put that out there anymore because I am going to be Patricia, the woman that is interested and available to be able to have love and commitment in my life. And I trust in God that if that's meant to be, that will be. But again, as women, I believe that we do need to demand the respect and the dignity and the commitment. And I believe that in relationships, women, we are much different than men. And we are much different than men in our careers and in our love and our living and in our life. And that's okay also. Because I do believe that God has someone for all of us, that there is our perfect prince, princess, whatever it is that's out there. I do believe it, but I also do believe that we go through all of these challenges and changes and on this journey in our lives so that when the right one is perfected, God sends them to us. And what may have been someone in your past that you were in a relationship with and it didn't work, that's okay, because I'm sure you've experienced it and learned quite a bit from that relationship. So I have just not met the perfect person for me yet, because God is perfecting him. And as soon as he is done and ready, God will send him my way. And same for you, Maria. So trust in the Lord, trust in God that he will definitely send him your way and our way. And when we're ready, it will be. And just tell our friends in the future when they ask us so that we don't feel bad. Because sometimes when people continuously ask that, you wonder, what is wrong with you? Is there something wrong with me that, you know, I'm not in a relationship? No. I'm to the point to where now I know there is nothing wrong with me. It's just not the right time, or it has not been the right time up until this moment. And now the moment is becoming the right time, because we are making the time to acknowledge and recognize that all love and relationships don't have to hurt. And I think that's a powerful message for someone that has been victimized or traumatized or been through a very nasty, bad relationship in the past. You tend to just want to run away from it because it hurts too much. But within life, many, many things, they do hurt. We have challenges, we have obstacles, we have difficulties, whether it's with our health, our career, life, living, love. And sometimes we have to acknowledge and sit back to make change, even though it hurts. It can hurt and hurt and hurt. But once we acknowledge the hurt and the pain and where it came from, and we recognize it and we own up to our part, because sometimes in relationships or careers, whatever it may be, sometimes we have a part in it, and it's okay to recognize what our part was so that we can change and we can make that journey to be happy and to be healthy and to be loved and accepted of ourselves and of others in the future. So really take time in your journey to know the pain and the hurt that you've endured in your past, to acknowledge it, to recognize it, to be in the moment. And however long your moment is, it's okay. Some people could recognize it and acknowledge it in a day, and some it could be years. And that is okay, because that is yourself, that is your space. And whatever it may be, you can also trust in some of your dear, dear trusted friends. Again, I spoke about it. Sometimes you have friends in your life and they may not be trustworthy of certain things. Doesn't mean they shouldn't be your friend. It just means there are certain people in your life that you can't trust. And I have also learned that recently as well. I've learned a lot. It's quite interesting how God is sending so many things in our lives, because I think about, you know, how hard and how much I was been working for this past 10.5 years for community. And now it feels as if I feel God's presence with me each and every moment, every second, to be able to say I'm a self, and the past doesn't have to define who I am in my present and in my future. And what a powerful, powerful guidance that is coming to me in my life. And I am just so appreciative of the Lord sending me all of this in my life, because it truly, truly is such a gift and such a blessing to know that I have overcome so much on this journey. And in the last 30 days and in the next 30 days, my journey is going to be even much greater. And I'm going to now know how to say yes, how to say no, and how to share the true being of myself as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother. And, you know, even family, I admit I didn't make the time as much as I should have been. And now I am. And I got back from Vegas yesterday, and, you know, I was tired, and I looked at all of my emails and my messages, and it was overwhelming at first because, you know, there's so much to catch up on now. But you know what? I contacted my son, and I said, let's go for dinner. And even though I was tired and I knew I had so much work to do, I said, it needs to wait because I want to see my granddaughters and I want to see my son and I want to see my daughter-in-law. And we did. We went for dinner and it was so outside my normal. But I couldn't wait to see them. And when I seen them, it was just such a joy and such a blessing. And I love my son with all my heart and love my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter. And, you know, Violet, she's 2.5, and she's just going through that 2.5-year-old stage, and she's just spunky. And it was funny because I was laughing off the subject, but it was funny because, you know, my son, you know, he's always been such a feisty one himself also, and growing up and stuff, he was the one that, you know, kind of got in trouble all the time. And to see him now and to see his 2.5-year-old daughter, and he was telling her to eat her food, and she took her finger and she pointed at him and she said, no, no, no. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's kind of humorous in a way, because I didn't know how my son was going to respond. But it's interesting to see the dynamic of family also, and to really take time to say, you know what, the career, the work, the community is going to have to wait because I want to spend time with my family right now. So in my journey, it's going to be a lot about living life for myself and my faith and my family and my friends, and really taking time to travel and to see things and to explore and to dream and to discover. Those are three things that are going to be truly part of my journey, and I invite you to look at those three in your life while you're living and you're going on your journey. Promise yourself that you'll take even 5 minutes with a notebook or a piece of paper or a journal and write in there, explore. And what does explore mean to you? And then write on another page, dream. What are your dreams? Do you have hopes and dreams? Share those with yourself. And then on another page, write discover. And what you're going to do to discover on your journey moving forward in your life. Because those are all key things when you're discovering yourself and making those changes. And again, I stress to you, those changes are not going to be easy. Not easy at all. But you know what? You can make those changes. You can go back to school and take a couple classes if you want. Not something you have to do. Although recently, it's interesting because a statement was made to me a short while ago, and it really triggered a lot for me in my life and my living. And although I was very, and I still am, offended by the statement of people asking a question of what education you have in order to teach or train or speak. And, you know, I thought to myself, this person that said the statement to me, I wanted to frankly say something, although I won't share it with you, but what I wanted to say is not very nice, so I asked God to forgive me for thinking bad thoughts, but I think that's our first defense. But, you know, is every education taught in a classroom with a book, a professor, and a desk? Or is an education given in many different ways? And to me, I think it's given in many different ways. I think I have an education through life, and I think I am still being educated every single day with God's given gifts. And to me, that speaks volumes. Do I want to go back and take some classes? Am I educated? Am I intelligent enough to go back? Absolutely. Do I believe in education? I wholeheartedly do. Sometimes it could be a class that you go back and you take to learn how to paint, to be able to discover things that have happened to you in your life, whatever they may be. And you can be educated in that format, in art, in music, in hope, in healing. There are many classes to take in healing, and I'm going to be doing that myself. I'm going to be working with someone that's going to be able to help me in my healing and in my moments, to be able to deal with many of the triggers that are triggered in my life every single day. And I know I'm not alone in this walk. I know in this journey, you all that are listening, you may have triggers of things that have happened to you in your childhood or teenage years or as an adult. And sometimes those moments can be so challenging. And you, even though some of them you may have healed through them, you don't know how to work through them. How do you get through that moment? But when you take care of yourself, you're dealing with all of those moments. So I ask in your journey that you join me to really take again that time to explore, to dream, to discover. And you could have sections when you're writing on your paper and your journal. You could have sections in there for those three components in your life, in your career, in your community giving, in your love relationships with your family, your friends, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whoever it may be. You could also have a section in there for your faith. How do you explore, dream, and discover in your own faith? I think that's a journey in itself. But again, the key one would be yourself. You need to be able to discover and find out more about who you are and to not compare. Let's not compare ourselves to everyone else, and believe in ourselves and support our friends and our family, support our people that we work with. Take time to acknowledge and recognize and just say hello, a friendly hello to someone. And I also ask that you give back to your community. Find something, whether it be at a trauma center, whether it be at a hospital, whether it be with pets and animal shelter, whether it be with victims of trauma and crime, whether it be at a school or a university, a daycare, whatever it may be, something that catches you in your journey to give back to your community. And giving back into your community does not have to be financial. It could be giving an hour a month, an hour a week. It could be donating books. It could be whatever it may be for you. I ask that you also give back. When you're giving back to yourself, also give back to others, because there is no greater reward when you can give back to others. The other thing is to acknowledge and recognize your failures. That's a hard thing to do. We don't like to recognize and honor our failures, but trust me, we all have them. So I just ask you to please take the time to recognize them, because it may be a challenge, but we can. And when we recognize and honor our failures in life, we all have them. Trust me when I say to you that it makes the change and the growth so much easier. My final prayer today is a prayer for the body. Thank you, God, for the body you have given me. Most of the time, I take my health for granted. I forget how fortunate I am to live without pain or disability, how blessed I am to be able to see and hear and walk and eat. I forget that this body of mine, with all of its imperfections, is a gift from you. When I am critical of my appearance, remind me, God, that I am created in your holy image. If I become jealous of someone else's appearance, teach me to treasure my unique form. Help me, God, to care for my body. Teach me to refrain from any action that will bring harm to me. If I fall prey to a self-destructive habit, fill me with the strength to conquer my cravings. Lead me to use my body wisely. Guide me, my every limb, God, to perform acts of compassion and kindness. I thank you, God, for creating me as I am. Amen. Have yourself a wonderful week, everyone. May God bless you on your journey, and I look forward to speaking and hearing from all of you next week. Always feel free to call in with questions on Coffee Talk with Patricia. God bless. We'll be right back.
have forgotten that you were faced with circumstances you can't get through. Right now it seems that there's no way out and you're going under. But God's proven time and time again He'll take care of you, and He'll do it again. Oh yes, He can do it again. If you would just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, well, hasn't He always come through for you? Oh, He's the same now as then. Oh, you may not know how, you may not know when, but He'll do.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal's Journey to My Father's Palace. Destiny, coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Welcome to 4 International Soul Sister Radio. I am your producer, Maria DiGiovanni, welcoming you to the Soul Sister Experience. First, a special thank you to our station sponsor, ImageMakeoverProgram.com, who make it possible to record live and broadcast worldwide. We invite you to get ready to enjoy the show. Take it away, my soul sister.
Good morning, happy Friday, and welcome to Healing Through Prayer. Today's topic is spiritual prayer.
Okay, Corrine, stop you. You sound a little muffled, so just letting you know.
That's better.
Nope, try it again.
Well, let me see if I can move my phone. This has always been a good spot for me to talk about this.
Okay, let's try it again. Go ahead.
Is on spiritual warfare, and I think that it's timely. I am hearing a lot of people talk about having fear and doubt, being afraid to move forward, being unsure. So I started giving this a lot of thought, and kind of going back over briefly what we have discussed previously, we now know that our thoughts and beliefs literally construct the experiences that we have humanly, right? And we have read that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Eastern religions have taught this concept from the beginning. And Mrs. Eddy wrote that we see what we believe as surely as we see what we believe, as surely as we believe what we see. From this, you can logically reason that all discord, inharmony, sickness, sin, anything really that brings us sadness or a sense of separation is produced at the level of thinking or your beliefs. So if the cause is formed at the level of our thinking, then trying to fix a problem or heal sickness, change somebody or something, or alter circumstance outside of yourself is utterly futile. It's the exact same thing as trying to remove a weed from your garden by cutting its leaves off. It's going to come back. So you've got to get the root or the cause of the problem, otherwise it's going to return. It returns and returns until you learn the lesson that it provides. So let's think about it for a minute and just be grateful for this understanding. Because there's millions of people out there that see a problem as being outside of themselves. They'll spend their whole lives trying to fix it by taking outside measures. They'll put a material solution on top of a material body to fix something that they are sure is a physical problem. They will attempt in vain to fix another person by coercing, nagging, bullying, or using passive-aggressive means to get their way. Others will stare hopelessly out a window, lamenting their situation, feeling like they must deserve their present situation or simply that they're not lucky or God has forgotten them. Well, you and I can save a ton of time, save ourselves a lot of energy and negative emotions because we already know that anything that we don't want to experience can and must be healed through our beliefs and nowhere else. And that's major. I mean, that's taking the physical aspect out of the whole equation, and it gives you a huge advantage. It's a real time saver. So we are left with all that really is of any consequence, and that's our beliefs. So negative experiences are the consequence of negative beliefs we've accepted into our consciousness. And I spoke previously about how these false beliefs and suggestions come to us in a disguise, either as our own voice or masquerading around as something good when in fact it's error, bad for us. And we unwittingly accept these false beliefs because we don't know any better. And they gain acceptance. They hide deeply in the recesses of our minds. And they gain a foothold there. They begin to grow offshoots to build a stronghold in our thought. They become ingrained to the point that we are certain that they are our own beliefs, and we end up fighting for them, protecting them. If someone dares try to expose the falsity of the belief, we stand up and become offended, arguing to protect and preserve this false belief. It's truly amazing how it operates in our thinking. So we're halfway there. We know a problem is to be addressed by looking in our thoughts, not outside of ourselves. And we have an understanding of how it operates. So now what? Well, let's discuss strongholds. The Greek word for stronghold, taken literally, means a fortress. It's used in the Bible as a metaphor to represent things that are based only on human confidence or pride, as opposed to those that rely on God's input and guidance. One dictionary defines stronghold as a fortified place, a place of security and survival. So there is a fortress around false beliefs in our thinking. The fortress is there because we are 100% convinced that the belief is true. And because we believe it's true, we will undoubtedly experience its effects. There's no way around this. Now let's remember what it is behind these false beliefs. Now, if God is truth, then whatever is unlike God or good is false. Whatever would oppose itself to God's creation is a false belief. Well, who or what is in charge of peddling these false beliefs to us? Who or what claims that we're separate from God, at the mercy of man-made laws, that we are a mortal sinner, subject to sickness, sin, disease, decay, and ultimately death? Snakey. A talking serpent, the most subtle of all beasts of the field, a liar, and the father of lies. The symbol that represents all that would attempt to mesmerize us into believing in a power opposed to God. Snakey breeds fear, guilt, judgment, separation, as well as self-love, self-will, human pride, egotism. These are all various modes of strongholds in our thought. And so these strongholds must be detected and removed. This is the way. Some strongholds are more easily detected than others. Some are only seen with a little digging, and others we are not even aware of at this present moment. I had an experience when I was out pulling weeds by our house, and God showed me how weeds are like strongholds in our thought. Some of the weeds were so obvious and came out with one pull. Then I noticed that some of them, like crabgrass, were really difficult. I mean, that stuff really holds on. I'd pull one way, then another. Sometimes it would come out after a lot of struggle. Other times I'd give up because my hands hurt, and I'd soak the area with some water, and then I'd try again. And I'd pull it the same way I tried the first time, and it finally gave way, and I pulled it out by its roots. And God showed me that when we pray to remove something and our prayers are not immediately answered, not to be disheartened. We don't know that our prayers aren't making a difference. Underneath, the roots are moving, giving way, starting to loosen their hold. Our prayers are like water, softening the ground around the roots, making a way for those roots to release. Our prayers are never in vain. Each one is effective, and we must keep at them until the roots come out. I also found plants that I wasn't sure should come out. What if it's a flower? What if it's an offshoot of something I want? I learned that if I wasn't sure, just to let it be, because in due time, I'd know if it's a weed or something I wanted to keep. And I could pull it out only once I'm sure. Like in the Bible, when a man was instructed, or he instructed his servants, to allow the wheat and the tares to grow side by side until the time of the harvest, in order that the servants didn't pull the wheat out by mistake. So don't worry about those beliefs that you're not certain about or that you don't know about. In due time, you'll recognize whether they are producing fruit or not in your life, whether they serve to uplift you or only breed fear and condemnation. Another way I've discussed how to remove false beliefs is through flood tides of love, and those beliefs that we don't even know exist will be identified easily once we start flooding our consciousness with flood tides of love, expressing love, doing good, holding our thoughts to the good and true, to what we know for sure is of God. And as you do this, the beliefs that are not of God have no place to hide and are removed as easily as light replaces darkness. So, to summarize up to this point, any problem is mental. It must be addressed at the level of thought. The answer lies in replacing false beliefs with the truth. And false beliefs are just not going to get up and volunteer to go. Their very life depends upon your believing in them. They don't get the name stronghold for nothing. So we need to conduct an all-out war against false beliefs. It is a spiritual warfare, and it is necessary. How do we prepare and do battle in this war? Well, let's turn to our authority on the subject. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul totally understood and taught that the war is mental, taking authority over imaginations, casting out whatever would attempt to oppose our understanding of our relationship to God, and taking prisoner each thought and transforming it with the truth. Well, we're going to need some armor for this war, and this has already been supplied as well. We each have a full suit of armor. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. So for our defense, we have truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation. For our offense, we have Spirit, the word of God. In another place, the Bible also refers to the sword of truth, meaning we can use it offensively also. So these are our tools, and like any trade, the more you practice using your tools, the more skilled you become, the better you are at what you're using them for. So as we hone our skills, learning the Word of God, memorizing Scripture, studying the Bible, standing in faith when the world seems scary or unsure, maintaining peace in the face of aggression, affirming that we are the children of God now, these will defeat the hold that these false beliefs have over you. They are powerful beyond measure. They are true substance, and they have all power because they are from God. They are given to us to use. They are virtually our weapons, and we are assured of victory when we stand with God. Recall that we all experience bad things because we believe a lie we've been told. Let's use an example, like poverty. If you don't know the Bible and the Word of God, you will most likely be brought up believing that we live in a limited world with limited resources, that there's not enough to go around, competition is fierce, times are tough, and you've got to fight to survive. Perhaps this was exemplified in your life by parents who didn't have much, or perhaps it was the never-ending gloom and doom in the news and media, perpetuating the fear you already have about there not being enough. And because you believe this, you're experiencing this. Or maybe you have enough, but you're always uptight about the prospect of losing it. Or maybe you don't have enough, and it is always your experience that there just isn't enough. You believe this, and you experience it. The world confirms it back to you. All the weight in your beliefs are on the side of, there isn't enough, and so it is. Okay, imagine a scale, like a banker's scale or scales of justice, where you've got two plates, and they're hanging on either side of this pole. They're suspended there, and the scale with more weight on it hangs lower. Got it? So this belief that there is not enough is all on one side, and it controls your thoughts and life, because that is the side your beliefs are on. Now, there are two ways to change a belief, and I'll talk about the first one here. You must convince the believer of a different way of viewing something based upon facts and logic so that the believer changes his or her belief. Using the truth, you can use building blocks of logic to present a new way of viewing the same situation. You put new information on the other side of the scales until the believer no longer believes what they held before, but can see the light and logic in the new information and is convinced and switches over to the new belief. So let's apply that to our example. I'd explain to the person who believes that his or her resources are limited, and I'd start from the top. God is the only creator. God created everything, and God is good. God is spirit. Therefore, his creation is spiritual, not material and physical. And it's not dependent upon material laws. God is infinite, filling all space. God is love, always caring for and providing for his beloved children. A loving parent does not withhold from his child. God's resources, like God himself, are exhaustless, are infinite. God is mind, always creating, always developing, always knowing itself. All that is from God. All that God is, we are and have, because we are made in his image and likeness. We are the beneficiary of all that God created and continues to create. We are the recipients of his goodness, his love, his mercy, his abundance, his blessings. And because God is all power, there is in reality no power to block us from receiving this abundance. There is nothing to stand in between us and God, nothing in reality to convince us or mesmerize us into believing that his goodness is scarce or limited. Nothing can stop the power of God from touching and reaching his children. We can be grateful that God is love, and love does not withhold, does not require competition to receive good, does not withhold from one in order to give to another. Love supplies all our needs every moment. And as we understand these truths, all based on Scripture, and as we deny the false beliefs of lack and limitation, the new beliefs begin to outweigh the old, and the scales tip in favor of truth. As we study and understand our relationship to God and what that means, our beliefs change. The truth will replace the old false belief. Darkness will and must give away to light. And as you apply these truths, guess what you're going to experience humanly? A job offer, a source you never considered before, is going to open up. You will meet just the right person or encounter just the right circumstance. You'll have that need, whatever it is, met in the perfect way. And what is so cool is that the answer isn't going to be just satisfactory. It's perfect. It's perfectly tailored for you and your circumstance. And that's when you know, I mean, you're solidly convicted that God is here, God loves you, and God knows you, because you will see the smallest details worked out on your behalf, and you will know that only God knows you that well. It is really awesome to watch God answer prayer. There's something else that also needs to be addressed in spiritual warfare. It's our attitude and our faith. We can't be timid in conducting this warfare. Either we believe God is omnipotent and all power, or we don't. You can't hide behind the written words if you don't believe them in your heart. Let's take a look at the story in David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. When David first volunteered to go fight the Philistine, what happened? Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the bear, paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." You see how David cited specific examples of how the Lord had already saved him and delivered him? He had absolute faith in God because of the proof he'd already seen. We can do the same. How many times has God protected us, delivered us, provided for us, comforted us? Paul preached in the Bible that he was convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul could say these things because of the proofs he had seen. How has your life changed since you decided to base your life on Jesus' teachings? Since you were saved or baptized or had a spiritual renewing within yourself, you feel it when you're living in accord with God's commands for your life. You can trust it and rely upon it. I mean, radically rely upon it, even when the five physical senses argue in the opposite. So with unswerving faith as we go into battle, knowing it is God who is doing the fighting through us. Getting back to David and Goliath, once David had agreed to fight the Philistine, how did he approach his task? We read, "Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. In the face of a physically stronger and more experienced opponent, in the face of the Philistine's taunting and ridicule, David yelled back. He didn't shrink. He spoke in the name and the power and authority of the Lord Almighty. And he ran to meet the Philistine. There was no hesitation, no regrouping, no second guessing. He declared that the battle was the Lord's and that it was God that would deliver the Philistine into his hands. And what happened? He prevailed. While I'm sure that you and I aren't going to be taking on any human giants in a battlefield, this Philistine is representative of all of our struggles and trials. Divorce, physical pain, lack of money, depression. These are all mental giants, all standing before us, parading around, taunting us, telling us just what they will do to us. It's time to do battle, not to be timid, but to run forth, declaring the works of the Lord, knowing that it is he that delivers us, that he assuredly loves us and will deliver us from all evil. Walk according to the law of God. Wear your armor. Be not afraid. He loves you. He delivers us. Where is your focus? Where is your faith? To whom or to what are you looking to for deliverance? The Bible says, "Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path." All thy ways, all of them. The promises are true. They work then, and they work now. They were true then, and they are true now. You can count on them and lean upon them. And as you are delivered, as the answers come, your faith will be enlarged, and you will meet the next battle with greater courage and conviction, and the victory will be yours again. Have a blessed week, everybody. Talk to you next Friday.
Soul Sister Radio.
Now here comes the musical heat of the past. Yes. No, I'll go come get some sunshine. Summertime vibes come back again. Tell all your friend, man. What's this?
Every man come listen, this one from the article land, Mr. Pato Bantan. We coming in strong with a positive summertime vibration. Cause in the winter, me can't take the cold, but it start shiver when the breeze start low. Car can't start, cause the engine cold.
can't move my fingers, can't feel my toes. But in the summer when the sun shines bright, kick up my boot, put on me a knife, leave me car and jump on my bike. This kind of weather I like. Grooving on the summer's afternoon, making it nice and easy, moving it nice and slow. Well, every day people are in a rat race. But if I could, I would have just slow down the pace. Like a record on a deck, switch the speed from 45 down to 33. Oh, nice and slow. Sun a shine and breeze a blow. Oh, nice and easy, yeah. Just a chill with my friends and family, yeah. I can't imagine anything that's better.
No way. Nice and slow.
Stress. The rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, lion and the doctor, even the priest. Some people take a trip to the beach to get a little stress relief. Take a picnic down to the park with my children and my sweetheart. Oh yes, I have to confess, the summertime vibes are the best. People, people, if you agree, I'm Pato Bantan, come follow me. Moving it nice and easy, moving it nice and slow. Taking it nice and easy, moving it nice and slow.
I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sista Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com and 4 International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.
Soul Sista Radio.